Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I was in my senior year of high school about 10 years ago. I grew up as sort of an outcast in high school. I wasn't bullied or anything, but I also didn't really have any friends. I didn't mind that solitary lifestyle, though. I went through school and then would come home and play video games, and losing myself in those digital worlds was my escape. My home life wasn't what I would call bad, either. It was just my dad and me. And I love my dad, and he worked so much to provide for me. And when I was young, maybe 10 or 11 years old, my mom got involved with some bad people and their hobbies, if you know what I mean. My dad didn't want to expose me to that world anymore, and we eventually moved away. It was messy, but it was for the best. He tried getting her help throughout the years, but she always turned it down, until one day she was just off the grid, completely. It was sad, but we both moved on, and when I got older, he would have to leave for the weekend once a month for his job. I didn't mind, though. It may seem crazy to some people to leave someone at that age home alone for a weekend, but my dad trusted me. One specific weekend during senior year when my dad left for the night, I started my normal routine. My pops would leave me some money to order a pizza and some soda. We never had soda in the house, so getting this 2-liter with a pizza was like a double treat for me. My night was beginning to play out just like every other night that I was home alone. I demolished the pizza and drank most of the soda, and after a little breather on the couch, I went to my room and started playing some PlayStation. And this is how I would spend most of my weekends, even if Dad was home. I would usually play Call of Duty, but Grand Theft Auto Online had just come out, so I had been spending some time playing that. And after a few hours of that, I decided to play the single-player story mode, and the older I got, I seemed to play the story and games less, but for some reason on this night I wanted to play something with some substance, even if it was GTA. And since I wasn't playing online anymore, I took my headphones off. As much as I game, I hate wearing headphones for long periods of time. I've been playing the story for a little while and I thought that I could hear something coming from downstairs. There weren't any loud or jarring noises, it was just these sort of small little vibrations and little bumps. Now, I've been home alone a ton of times, and I didn't remember ever feeling any of those vibrations or hearing any noises like that, but at the same time, the noises weren't alarming enough that I was actually freaked out. It was a little after 1 a.m, and I think it's just subconscious to be a little on edge when you're home alone at that hour. And every few moments, I would hear a little scoffing noise. I'd pause the game and try to listen intently. When I listened, I would mostly just hear silence and maybe an occasional little bump. Just because I was home alone, of course, the quick thought of an intruder crossed my mind. I'm even embarrassed to say that at one point I even thought to myself, are ghosts real? But then I would immediately shoot that idea down. This little internal debate would continue for about 30 minutes. I finally paused the game and went over and sat in my computer chair to just straight up listen for a few minutes without trying to listen over the sound of gameplay. And the sounds started to happen more regularly. The sounds of the little bumps that I initially blamed on cracking pipes or house noises started to happen more often. The little vibrations I could feel were now happening almost every second. It was like my dad might be downstairs. The only thing missing was hearing his voice, though. And the thought of my dad coming home early even crossed my mind, but he would have called me, or at least poked his head in the room to see if I was awake. I decided that I was just kind of being paranoid and that I was getting myself all worked up for nothing. I decided I was going to go downstairs and check it out to prove to myself that nobody was in the house and that I was clearly just letting my imagination run away from me as the night ran on. I crept slowly down the upstairs hall and made my way to the top of the staircase. While I was slowly heading in the direction, the muffled sounds were much louder and I started fearing the worst. The thought of calling the police crossed my mind right away, but I was actually too anxious in that moment. In my mind, I was thinking to myself, what if nobody's here and I just waste the police time? And when I got to the bottom of the stairs, I saw a light illuminating the dark walls coming from the other side of the house. It was the kitchen light. It's possible I left it on, but I'm fairly compulsive and I was nearly 100% certain that I had shut the light off before heading upstairs. I was practically crawling to the kitchen, I was moving so slowly. When I was only a few feet away from the kitchen doorway, I could hear the sounds of rummaging, like someone was going through my cabinets in the kitchen, and that was accompanied by a soft humming voice. And that hum, it was so eerie. I was half expecting to see some big scary burglar, but the voice indicated something else. I peeked my head into the kitchen, and in the corner, next to the sink, was a very small woman. Her hair was wild, kind of flowing in every direction, and I had my phone in my hand, ready to call the police, but I think that situation just had me frozen in terror, but also incredible curiosity. Then I realized the melody the woman was singing. She was humming, "I got no strings to hold me down." And I almost fainted right there because I knew who this person was. It was my mom. She would always sing that to me when I was very young, and it was one of the only memories of my mother that I actually had left. I couldn't move, and I must have been trembling because she had heard me turning around. A big smile lit up her face, and even though it was my mom, this was not the mother that I remembered. Her teeth looked rotten, and her eyes looked like they were sunken into her face. In a voice that should have been soothing but was somehow unnerving, she says,
"There's my baby. What are you doing awake at this hour?"
I didn't respond. I just stood there, like some statue. She came over to me and put her dirty hand on my shoulder, saying,
"What am I going to do with your father? He's always changing out cabinets around. I swear that man doesn't listen."
And then she started to laugh, but it wasn't charming. It was like some disgusting cartoon character laughing. And she turned back around and started humming and going through the cabinets again. I broke out of my trance and went to my room and locked the door. I then called the police and my dad right away. My dad made sure that I was in the bedroom with the door locked. He didn't go into details, but he said that there was a chance my mother might be dangerous and I needed to be safe just in case. The cops showed up and I heard a minor altercation. I could hear my mom yelling at the police to get out of her house. The police knew the situation from myself and my dad, who called after me, and I heard a brief struggle and then silence for a few moments. I heard a cop shout my name and told me it was all right for me to come downstairs. I spoke with the police for a little while as another officer drove my mother away. One officer stayed parked outside of my house all night until my dad came home, just to help me feel safer, which I do really appreciate. My dad came home early the next morning and he spoke with one of the officers. I could tell by reading my dad's body language that he was uncomfortable and that we were potentially fortunate to avoid something horrible happening. My mother actually had two knives on her when she was apprehended. One knife she must have had when she broke in, and the other knife was a sharp kitchen knife that belonged to my dad that she must have stuck in her pocket when she was in the kitchen. She never used them or even threatened to use them, but the fact that she had them was enough to freak me out. But maybe the most terrifying part of this horrible nightmare was that my mother had no idea where we lived. Well, she wasn't supposed to have any idea. When we moved away, we moved far away. My dad never told my mom where we moved to protect me. She broke into the house by breaking one of the downstairs windows and crawling in. I didn't hear it at all, so it must have been when I had my headphones on or something. And I thought of my mom just humming and walking around downstairs, potentially waiting for my dad while I was upstairs, and still freaks me out to this day. It's been about 10 years now, and I've only seen my mother twice since that night. She had been in some type of institution for years now. She has no memory of that night, but in all fairness, she doesn't have much memory of anything at all. It's sad, but it's true. Every time I hear that stupid song now, I sort of freeze up. And I just hope one day I can forget about the fear that I felt that night and find a way to remember my mom in a positive light. One thing that I hate almost more than anything in the world is being waited on. I don't mean at restaurants or places like that, I just mean in life in general. I've always been pretty independent, and when I first met my husband, we didn't click right away because we would literally fight over who was going to pay for the check. Fast forward to now, and we have a nice balance of things. One thing that I usually do is take care of the house, and even specifically the kitchen. I cannot stand a messy kitchen and dishes in the sink, and he's infamous for leaving dishes in the sink, so that's why I take care of the kitchen when I can. Now, a few weeks ago, I had to have surgery on my knee. This past summer, I destroyed my knee playing softball and still continue to finish the game doing more damage to my knee, and I put the surgery off for as long as I could, but the pain was too much. It wasn't even the procedure that I was anxious about. I actually wanted to just get it done and out of the way. I was more anxious that I was going to be practically bedridden for a little while. And my husband is amazing, and I knew that he'd take care of me, but I also knew that the kitchen was going to be a mess. I'm sure this makes me sound pretty controlling, but I don't even care. I just love making sure everything's clean. And the day came, the surgery passed, and in bed I was stuck, and I hated it. For me, it felt like I was trapped in a cell. I was told not to move for several days unless it was for the bathroom, and even then, I should have assistance. Luckily, we had a bathroom in our bedroom, so it was only a few hops in case I needed to go. The first night, I stayed in bed, and the next day at home, I was already restless. I hopped to the bathroom, and when I was done, I realized that I was actually getting around pretty well. When my husband left for work, he begged me to stay in bed and that he would take care of the kitchen and dinner when he got home. All I could think about was that the kitchen was a mess. It didn't take me long to convince myself that I was all right to make my way there for a little while and just do the dishes. I took my time on the stairs because I will admit, it was not an easy task. When I got to the bottom, I smelled something strange. Not trash or old food that I was half expecting to smell coming from the kitchen. What I smelled was what I thought at first was sort of cheap cologne. But I know my husband doesn't even wear cologne. And then it hit me harder as I took a few more steps. It wasn't cologne. What I was smelling was Axe body spray. I knew it right away. When I was in middle school, all the teenage boys would spray themselves with it after gym class to mask the smell of the body odor, and I'll never forget that horrible smell. I took a few more hops. I know I should have had my walker at the time, and the smell was so strong that I felt like I could taste it. I knew my husband wasn't wearing that because I could have easily smelled it on him by now in our relationship. And I went to text my husband and said, "Hey, don't get mad, but I actually hobbled downstairs. Why does it smell like Axe body spray here?" After I sent it, I went to the kitchen, and I'll have to be honest, I was surprised. It wasn't a mess. There was a small plate and fork in the sink, and other than that, he was doing a good job at keeping the kitchen in line. I went over and washed a couple of the things in the sink and noticed that the back door, which is in the kitchen, was slightly opened. More ajar or crack than actually open, but it still wasn't shut. Maybe this isn't that big of a deal for some people, but we rarely, if ever, use that door. When we go out back, we usually go out the side door. We usually just keep that door locked and put the recycling bin in front of that door. And I sort of hobbled over to investigate some more, and I noticed that the bin had moved a few inches as well. It was like the door was open from the outside and the bin slid out of the way just enough to let someone in. I already knew the answer, but I texted my husband again anyway and said, "Did you open the back door for any reason?" He didn't respond right away. I hopped back into the living room and sat on the couch trying to put all the pieces together and put a rational spin on everything. The thought of someone breaking in didn't even remotely cross my mind because we lived in a really nice neighborhood with almost no crime ever. My husband called me back a few minutes later and told me that he had called the police just as a precaution to make sure nobody broke in, and that he was heading home from work as well. I got off the phone with him and sat there quietly waiting for the police and my husband to show up. And then, without noticing, bang, the closet door in the living room shot open. A tall man dressed in black ran out of the closet and out the back door. As soon as he ran by, that smell of axe was incredibly overwhelming. I tried hopping to the window, but I was only able to get a brief glance of the man as he ran by the side of the house. I noticed a very thick beard, and that was pretty much it. He was out of my sight in seconds. Not long after, the police showed up, and then my husband right after. I gave them all the information I could, but like I said, I didn't really have much to give to the police. The most disturbing part of all of this is that the cops are sure that the person didn't break into the house. There were no signs that he forced himself in, which led the police to believe that whoever this intruder was, he may have had a key to the house. My husband went out right away and bought new locks for all the doors and made sure all the windows were locked as well. No other neighbors reported anything suspicious, which makes it even more likely that this person targeted our house specifically. He also didn't steal anything, which begs this question. What the hell did he want? If he wasn't swimming in Axe body spray and left that door cracked, whatever it is he wanted, he may have gotten.
I was staying at an Airbnb in a neighboring city. This was over 3 years ago now, and although it wasn't completely necessary for me to rent an Airbnb for the night, I had a potentially important job interview in the morning and preferred not to drive 3 hours at dawn and immediately follow up with an interview. I drove over at 4 and arrived around 7. The house was in a nice neighborhood and it looked like any normal city street with family-sized homes. I parked in the driveway and went inside, almost having my heart stop when a woman came around the corner and introduced herself. I was not expecting to see anyone in the house, so I had to collect myself before even responding. She said she was staying here for a few days in the other half of the house, and just thought to introduce herself to keep things from being awkward. I had no idea this was a shared rental, but I returned the favor and introduced myself as well, then went to my room. I took my phone out of my pocket and went to the Airbnb app to see if I'd made the mistake or if this was some kind of shady ripoff. Before I got the chance to really look though, the woman came up to my door and started talking to me again. She asked a lot about me and was just trying to keep the small talk going, which I tried to signal that I wasn't really interested in talking at the moment, but she didn't seem to notice. If I didn't know any better, I'd say she was flirting with me. It was a little weird considering I'd just arrived, and it was pretty late in the day, so I was obviously tired. After a couple minutes, she finally went away, and I had the chance to check the app. Nowhere on it did it mention multiple rooms for rent. It just said it was a house for rent. However, the pictures did only show a single room, so it didn't really fully answer my question. I sent a text to the owner asking about it, but I was already here and didn't have the time nor energy to make other arrangements. At that point, I was just hoping for a partial refund or something. After getting my bags into my room, I went into the kitchen to prepare some of the food I'd bought on the way up to the rental. Less than a minute went by before the woman came out again and met me in the kitchen. It wasn't until now that I'd taken a better look at her, though. She was older, I'd say mid-40s, with tired eyes and messy hair. It looked like she'd either just woken up or had been awake for too long. She started up another conversation, asking me about myself and telling me about her, and it became obvious now that she was definitely flirting with me. I was only in my early 20s, so this was pretty weird and not something I was into. I didn't want to be rude, especially if we'd be staying here together, but I also got increasingly more weirded out as the conversation progressed. She started smiling more and asked if I wanted to see her room, being really pushy about it, even though I insisted on just eating my food and going to bed. As I continued to deny, though, her smile slowly diminished into a frown, getting upset at my lack of interest. Just as things were getting creepy, my phone buzzed on the counter. I looked at it, and my stomach tightened. The owner sent me a text saying nobody else should be there and to call the police if there was anyone inside. I looked back at the woman, who still had a distasteful look, and then I heard a door open from down the hallway, followed by heavy footsteps charging through the house. I left everything and sprinted for the door, seeing a man in the corner of my eye running toward me as I left the house and ran for my car, getting out of there as fast as I could. By the time authorities arrived, the man and woman were nowhere around. What they would have done had I followed the woman into the room is unknown. Thankfully, my belongings I'd left behind were still there, but that only concerns me more about what their intentions were.
Several years ago, I was in the midst of an awful divorce with my then husband, full of crazy allegations and typical angry filings centered around custody of our child. As with many divorces, friends and professional colleagues seem to pick one side or the other. In my case, there was one sort of professional contact who reached out to me after hearing about the divorce, who offered to be a witness for my case because of some experiences he related that I had been previously unaware of, regarding my ex's behavior out at networking events. So after this initial call, he started calling me on a semi-regular basis to make sure I was okay. This wasn't really someone I knew prior to the separation, and he was much older than I was, but claimed to have experience with divorce and custody. So I figured it was a good idea to be polite and not alienate him. My lawyer also told me that his testimony was important, so I kept things friendly, but I always had a weird feeling about him. A few months later, he called one day, and my son was very sick, and I told him I couldn't talk and explained why. He then offered to run to the store for me, which I honestly appreciated. But after that event, he kept dropping by uninvited, or he would stop by with cookies for my son. Again, I kept telling myself to keep things polite. The divorce is coming soon. Don't make this guy mad. During this time, he had also helped me set up a security cam system that my dad had mailed me. At one point, I needed someone to walk my dog, and he offered to do it. He used and returned a spare key the same day. One evening, he showed up while I was painting and insisted on sticking around to help, even though I was having my starting over catharsis and just wanted to do it alone. Not long after the painting day incident, he showed up unannounced and uninvited once again, having magazines with random decor saying, "We could finish decorating the house." And I was so weirded out that I made an excuse to leave. I then began ignoring his calls and took my son and dog to stay with my parents for several weeks to avoid these frequent drop-ins. I came home a few weeks later thinking he would have finally gotten the hint. It was a nice and quiet day. The following morning, I took my son on an outing, and we both came back hot and tired. I put him down for a nap in my bed and decided I would close my eyes with him. I woke up maybe an hour or so later, and it took me a moment to realize that something was way off. As I'm blinking off the sleep, I realized there was a rose bush sitting on my bedside table that I definitely had not put there. There was a post-it note on it, something about planting it in the yard. I started shaking immediately. I recognized the handwriting and stood up to go splash some water in my face and decide whether or not to call my parents or the police. As I stepped into my bathroom, I realized that the mirror was covered in post-it notes, all with super creepy messages that were intended to be like love notes or with affection. But ultimately, all they did was scare me. I was still waking up trying to figure out how these notes could have gotten here. My front door was definitely locked. But as I went from room to room, there were notes everywhere. I mean hundreds of post-it notes covering the walls, in my cabinets. There was even one inside my coffee maker. I started grabbing them and putting them all into a pile when I got to the one in the kitchen that made my blood run cold. It said, "You're cute when you think no one is watching you." I then realized that there was a security camera pointed right at where that note was left. The one I had set up months earlier when I didn't think he was a psychopath. Called my parents in hysterics, sent them a bunch of photos, and my dad insisted I should not call the police. But he would drive over and change the locks and put a chain on the door. So we immediately changed the password on all the security cameras, which I had installed to document if my ex tried to break into the house. There were four in total, one on the front porch and three inside the house, including one inside my bedroom. This man could apparently see and hear everything going on inside my house for months. I realized he had just paid attention to my passwords when I was setting up the system. But the only way I can figure out that he got into my house is that he must have made a copy of my house key the day he had walked my dog. And because my dog had now gotten to know him, he wouldn't have barked to warn me, which also scared me. I was absolutely horrified. This man had been in my house for a very long time now. There's no way he could have put that many notes up quickly. And he was right next to my face and feet from my son while we were sleeping. And somehow, he thought that was okay. I left and stayed with my parents again for a few days, afraid of what he was going to do when he realized that he was now both physically and digitally locked out of my house. When I came home that night, my son was at his dad's, and I was home alone. So I got on the phone with another friend from out of town. At about 10 p.m., he shows up at the door pounding on it, trying the lock, screaming obscenities, and demanding to be let in his house. Gone were all the niceties. This was someone completely furious and derailed. All I could do was hide in my bedroom until he left. This happened on St. Patrick's Day, so I'm sure he'd been drinking. After that, there were several other times someone would start knocking on the door in the middle of the night, always when my son wasn't home. He tried reaching out using fake social media accounts several times, always getting blocked. Years later, I discovered that he had friended my mom on Facebook, and therefore was still able to see all the photos of us that she posted or shared. There was a huge argument when I saw she had left her computer logged in. A conversation they were having about me and how he could get back into my life. I sold that house 2 years later, still finding notes even as I was packing. And I am more than relieved that he no longer knows where I live. I do not post photos of my new house online. I have changed the privacy settings on all of my social media accounts. I avoid all the places he used to go, the network events he attended. I stay under the radar as much as I possibly can. Could never bring myself to play back the security camera videos because I was traumatized enough and didn't want to see just how much danger we were really in. Hopefully he never sees this post, but you know who you are. And I hope to God our paths don't cross again.
Our official merch store is finally here. If you want to support more of our channel, check out our merch shop. The link is in the description down below. See you on the next video.